good July we get. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you're alive. We thank you, Lord, that you are forgiving and you're good. We thank you, Lord, that your eyes are on the righteous and your ears are attentive to our cry. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. We pray, Lord, you are our teacher. Unless you come and teach us and open our eyes, Father, the word just kind of goes right over our heads. So, Lord, I pray that we would be still. You would quieten our hearts and our minds with your peace. We just lay down anything that we've come in here with today, any worries, concerns, Lord, we lay that down. And we pray, Spirit of God, that you would breathe on your word as it's played, as it's read, as it's sung. We need you, and we need to hear what your Spirit says today. So, Lord, I pray that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Prepare our hearts to worship. It's taken from Psalm 107, our text this morning, Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. Chuck Novak's going to read that for us this morning.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west.
God be the glory. believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, his pardon we receive. Lord, we thank you that you bore our sins, you bore the penalty for us, and Lord, we thank you for life, we thank you for forgiveness, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that purifies, that cleanses, that makes all things new. We thank you, Jesus, that you are alive. We thank you that you are seated on the throne. We thank you that you are the soon and coming King. We thank you that your name is faithful, that your name is true. You're good. You hear our cry. And you're faithful. We thank you that you are a firm rock to stand on when everything else is shifting sand. Father, we thank you for Madeline, John Burke's mama, 97 today, Lord. We bless her. She continues to heal. And Lord, we thank you for her in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Sally Miller, that you would continue to bless and strengthen Sally. We pray encouragement on Sally in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Danielle Emling. Lord, we pray for a safe delivery for baby Elsie. We pray strength in your grace to be upon Danielle. And Lord, we bless her in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for just a smooth transition as they anticipate baby Elsie, God, and that there would be a smooth transition with Henry. And Lord, we just bless that family in Jesus' name, Lord. And we're thankful for what you're doing in a new birth. And Lord, we ask your mercy and grace in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Joe, Janet Kirk's brother. God, your sustaining grace and your healing to be upon him. And Lord, everyone that needs healing in their body, Lord, we thank you that Psalm 103 says that you forgive all of our sins and you heal all of our diseases, that you redeem our life from the pit and you crown us with love and compassion. You satisfy us with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord, I thank you that you work righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And Lord, we come to you as our Father. We thank you, Lord, that you give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And Lord, we need you. Those that need comfort, those that need healing, those that need sustaining, Lord, just strength and sustaining grace. Lord, we come to you. We thank you that you are an ever-present help in time of trouble. Father, we pray for what's going on in Ukraine. And God, we ask your mercy upon that land in Jesus' name. God, work righteousness and justice for all the suffering and all of the hurting. God, help, heal, have mercy, deliver in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for our governing authorities. You exhort us to do that in Paul's epistle to Timothy. And Lord, we pray for President Biden. Lord, you would give him wisdom. We pray for Governor Pritzker. God, you would give him wisdom. We pray, Lord, for the men and women governors throughout our land, that they would be men and women who honor you and who fear you. God, we ask for your mercy and your healing to come on our land. And we, Lord, we know that that will not come unless we, your people, we ourselves, humble ourselves, pray and repent. And Lord, we come to you this morning and we ask for grace. We ask your mercy on our land. God, help, heal, deliver, have mercy, God. We thank you that where great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. Lord, we need you. We need you. And we humble ourselves this morning. Say that we ourselves need you. We need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your direction. We need your love. We need you. So Lord, come. Fill us afresh and anew with your Spirit. Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, offered up is worship unto you. And Lord, we pray you bless the giver and you bless the offering for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing La Gloria Patri. Father, this is your word. And Lord, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, I give you what I've studied. I give you, Lord, what's in my mind, what's in my heart. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I pray, Lord, you would anoint me, Lord, to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, that I would preach out of the overflow this morning, that anything that's of me, God, I just give it to you. And Lord, come, Holy Spirit, anoint your word and teach us and guide us into truth. Help us to see Jesus for your glory's sake. Amen. Psalm 107. What's the song of the redeemed? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wonderful works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. I'm going to stop there today. But the first three verses of this psalm, it's the introduction to the psalm. And I preached last week about that. In that is the most ancient chorus we have in the Bible. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The priests sang that song at the dedication of the temple. And Psalm 107, there are numerous psalms, I think it's 118, that have this refrain in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those who's redeemed from the north and the south and the east and the west. And instead of giving us a really boring discourse, and I've sat through a lot of really boring discourses on redemption, having to sit through three systematic theology classes in seminary. I don't want to hear any more just boring discourses. And the psalmist doesn't give us that. He actually illustrates for us what redemption is in four stories that are told in this song. There are four beautiful stories of redemption. And the first one is found in verses 4 through 9. What is the scenario? And to give a little background of the psalm, this psalm was probably written after the Babylonian captivity. They came and took Judah, the southern part of the kingdom, captive. And so that when the original Hebrews, Israelites, would have read this psalm, this would have meant something to them because they were wandering and they lost their home. They didn't have a place to live and they were scattered. And this story this story of redemption, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. So that would have been the literal context of this psalm. People were literally lost. They were displaced from their homes. And none of us, that's ever happened to. But all of us knows what it's like to feel lost, don't we? Feel like, God, where are you at? Where are we going? What are we doing? What is going on? And without Jesus in our lives, we are lost. We are sheep that have gone astray. We feel alone. And Lord, where are you? So whether literal or whether it's just something we've experienced, we wonder. And it feels like we're alone and we're hungry and we're thirsty. We're searching for something that never satisfies. That's their state. And what do? It says in verse 6, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. There's something incredibly beautiful in this psalm, and it's impossible to translate it into English. And in verse 6, and then again in verse 28, there's this word for cry. They cry out to the Lord. And this word, and if a child, if any of you have ever been, had a little one, or you remember this as a child and you were lost, what do you do when you're lost? You start yelling, right? Hey! Hey! I'm over here! And we yell. Somebody find me! Hey! And that's the word. It's to cry out with a loud voice. And they cried out to the Lord. They're lost. Lord, help. Come find me. Help me. They cry out. Cry out to the Lord. And it says that the Lord hears them and he delivers them from their distress. And again, in this story and then in the last story, it's the same word for cry out and it's the same word for deliver. And this word for deliver means to just come and snatch away. It would be like a parent coming that a child is getting too close to the fire, and they come up and they pick him up. Kid, come here. Get out of that. Come here. And pick him up. And they come and snatch them away. It's beautiful. They're lost. They're hungry. And they're thirsty. And they cry out to God with a loud voice. And the Lord comes and he picks them up and he snatches them away. And what's the response? He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Several weeks ago, I was talking about Jesus in John chapter 10. Jesus is the door. He is the door. He is the shepherd. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way. There's no way into heaven. There's no way to the Father except through Jesus. He led them by a straight way. Not a crooked way, but a straight way. He is the truth. He comes and he finds them and he leads them by a straight way to a city where they can dwell in. I was talking with some friends this week on Wednesday, and we were talking about heaven. And I don't know what has happened in the last 20 or 30 years in the church, but we've stopped talking about heaven. When I grew up in camp meetings, there were a lot of old gospel songs about heaven. And we stopped doing that. Have we become too content with what we have? Are we so consumed in this world that we forget that Jesus is preparing a place for us? Beautiful, peaceful. This world is not our home. We are aliens passing through. And it says that he led them by a straight way to a city where they can dwell in. This world is not our home. Jesus is preparing a place for us. We need to allow him to flow through us, bring as many people as we can in this world, not be content. But there was an old Rich Mullins song that said, if I weep, Let it be as a man who is longing for his home. You ever wept thinking about heaven and being with Jesus for all eternity? The saints of old that I grew up praying with, I remember them praying as they talked about heaven and just Jesus talking about the beauty. And I remember as a kid thinking, that's kind of weird. And as I've gotten older, it's not weird at all, because it's real. It's real. He led them by a straight way to a city where they can dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. What does God do? He satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul. He fills with good things. Only Jesus can fill that we deep in our heart. Every single one of us have a deep desire to be loved, to be accepted. And we will try, people in this world will try to fulfill that need through drugs, through alcohol, through sex, through any kind of pleasure to kind of fill that need. But only God can fulfill that deep longing in our heart, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with good things. He rescues and delivers those who are lost. What's the second story of redemption? Some, verse 10. 10 through 15. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. Again, to the Hebrews who would have originally read this in the Babylonian captivity, some were in prison. They were in literal prison. And it says in the next verse, for they had rebelled against the words of the Lord. They were taken into the Babylonian captivity because God had been warning them and warning them and warning them and warning them, and they did not heed. And so God's judgment came, and they were literally in prison. They were suffering because of their rebellion. It was literal. I would venture to say that none of us have literally been in prison. Maybe you had to spend the night in jail for something, but you've never had your feet in lock and irons and in prison. But a lot of us, or some of us, a fair amount of us, know what it's like to sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Prisoners in affliction and in irons. Maybe that's physical. Maybe that's mental torment. Maybe that's emotional torment. But you feel the irons of depression, the irons of addiction, the irons of anxiety, and you're suffering, and it's an affliction, and it's painful. Prisoners in affliction and in irons. Verse 11, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. We don't like talking about this in the church largely anymore, but the wages of sin is death. There is pleasure for sin in a time. But if you continue in rebellion against the words of God and you spurn his counsel, you are going to suffer. Physically, mentally, emotionally, the wages of sin is death. And this person is suffering. They've been in rebellion. Verse 12. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. When we are in constant rebellion, God, for a time, will try to bring us back. He will woo us. But when we're in constant rebellion, God will just step away. Step away. The prodigal son, that famous story, that father did not go running after that son when that son was in rebellion. He let him go. And God will leave us. You want to live in that way? Fine. And he will remove his hand. And I believe we're in the process in our country right now. We've been in so much rebellion. God is removing his hand from our country right now. He's removing his hand. You don't want me? Okay. And he will back away in our sin. He bows them down. with hard labor. They fall down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. This word for cried is different than the one above. This word for cry, and it's beautiful in the Hebrew, and this is what we miss, because the last, it's three letters, and the last two letters are the same in those two words. But the first letter is, one of them starts with a T-S, so it sounds like tss, tss, I can't pronounce it right, because there's a little guttural letter in there that I never can get, so it's like tss, then you have tss, very subtle. It's a TS with one. It's a Z with another one. Very subtle. And so the poetry in that is absolutely astounding. But the original, the Hebrews would have heard that and been like, ha, their ears would have been, because it's poetry and it rhymes. But it also, that first word is to cry out with a loud voice. This word is a cry. It's a call to arms. It's a cry of, it's like a deep cry of like, I need a higher power. I need somebody higher than I. It's more than just a wail like that first word. It's a, oh, God, help me. I can't do this. I've messed up. And it's a call to arms. It's a call to God, help, help. And those that had been in rebellion and that had turned their back on God, and God said, okay. They cry out to God, and it's a cry that kind of implies repentance. God, help! They cry out to him. And what does God do? Like, oh, I'm going to let you suffer a little longer? Is that what it's there? No, it's, they cry out to God, this call to arms. God, help me! And he delivered them. He delivered them from their distress. And that word is a word for to help and save and rescue, to come alongside, not just snatch away somebody that is so sick, somebody that's in irons, they can't help themselves, they can't get out of that by themselves. And that word for they cried out and God comes and he delivers them, it's a word that he delivers them and he comes to their aid. He comes right there and he's like, I'm here. I'm here. All he was waiting for was that cry to come and help. And God's right there every time. All we have to do is cry out to him. And he comes to aid them, to help them, to intimately untangle them from their sin, to take their shackles off, and to come to their aid. So beautiful. He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. That word is the same word in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that word is a word for deep darkness. It can be depression. It can be literal death. But it's a deep, deep darkness. And God comes and he delivers them from that. He brings them out of that. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Their response? Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. What in the world can shatter doors of bronze and bars of iron? You may think your loved one is completely beyond help, but this is the God who can shatter the doors of bronze, can soften the hardest heart, who cuts into the bars of iron. That's who he is. Our God is a redeemer. The third story of redemption. What does redemption look like? Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Literally, those that would have read this, they were sick. They They had been in rebellion against the Lord. They had maybe drank too much, done too many stupid things. Their body was suffering. And you don't have to think too far for us to apply that to us. It's not really that much different. All of us know people because of meth addiction, any kind of drug addiction, any kind of alcohol addiction that have been in states like this. They're sick because of their sin. They're sick because of their rebellion. They physically, mentally, emotionally are suffering because of their rebellion. Fools, through their sinful ways, because of their iniquity, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. What about those people? What about the homeless people? What about the meth addicts? What about those that are just completely, just their brain is gone, fried because of drugs, addiction, and all of that? What about those people? Is there any hope? Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. It's the same word that was in our second story. It's a call to arms. In that cry, it kind of implies repentance. I need a higher. I need help. I can't fix this. They cry to God in their trouble. And he comes to their aid. Again, same word that's in our second story. He comes to their aid. And he delivers them from their distress. He sent out his word. I am sure there is more than one person in this congregation that needs healing in their body today. And I long for the day, and it's happening in the United States. If you watch, I've seen it. God is beginning to heal his people. There's an outbreak of healing that's happening, an outbreak of deliverance that's happening. And he sent forth his word and healed them. And I just want to exhort you and encourage you. I heard a woman say, it's been probably 3 years ago now, that she had a vision. And she had a vision of this room and full of shoes. It's like, what, Lord, what am I looking at? And she asked the Lord, Lord, what is this? And he said, it's everybody that I've called to the ministry of healing. And they've given up because they prayed 1, 2, 500 times, and they prayed for people for healing, and they haven't been healed, and they've given up, and they've walked away. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of healing. The gift of healing. And God is a healer. And how's that going to come? How's that going to come? In the past, it's just come through maybe a handful of, you know, could name some healing evangelists on one hand. But he wants to do that through you. Through each one of you. The kingdom of God is going to cover, it's going to come, and it's going to come through us. And for many, many, many years, the church in the United States, we've been a sleeping giant. We've just kind of gone through the motions, doing our Sunday morning thing and then doing our own thing during the week. And that's not going to save our country, is it? What's going to save our country is us getting really serious about intimacy with the Lord, knowing him, and then letting him come through us. Being bold in our witness, being bold in our prayers. He's a healer. He sent forth his word and healed them. How did that word come? Maybe by the Holy Spirit? Yes, Holy Spirit will come, give us a word. But oftentimes his word comes through us. We have a word for someone. We have a prayer for someone. God wants to use us to bring healing. And will we let him? Will we believe it? And he wants to do it through us. He sent forth his word. Those that were completely, by society standards, just absolutely hopeless. Fools, sick, just leave them in the gutter. Nothing can help these folks. But they cried to the Lord. God heard them. He came to their aid. He sent forth his word, and he healed them. What a glorious and blessed God their distress, from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. The fourth story, some went down to the sea in ships. This one is interesting because the Hebrews did not like sailing. They were not merchants. They did not sail. And so different commentators are kind of puzzled on why this story would be in there. One reason may be because they've been, this is again the Babylonian captivity, they've gone to places where they are sailing and this is their livelihood. So that's one thing. Another part of it is that it's a metaphor. And so it can be both of those. And have any of you, probably few of us, you might have been on a cruise. Any of you ever been on a cruise? Any of you? Yeah? Good. I never have. Remember the McDonald's riverboat in St. Louis back in the 80s? Yeah, I got sick on the McDonald's riverboat. So I was like, I don't think going on a cruise is going to be my thing because I just get sick on just a little bit. But I've heard like cruises are, you know, they kind of stabilize the ship. It's not that bad. But I don't think any of us have been on a ship where it's like, it's just whoa, and it's terrifying because then it says you go up and you go down. And as we read this, that's what's going on. So whether they were literally doing business on the sea and just kind of minding their own thing and just trying to make a livelihood, which that would stand, but also it could be a metaphor and all of us can relate to this. How many times does life feel like this? For he commanded and raised the stormy winds, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end because the waves of this world, the waves of our circumstances, it's like the disciples in the boat when the storm comes. And they wake Jesus up and he says, Jesus, don't you care if we drown because this is scary. The clouds are dark. The waves are steep. Our boat is getting filled up. Jesus, help. The waves are rough. You may feel that way now with your financial situation, with your health situation. It feels overwhelming and you feel like you're swamped. And what do these folks do? They're going to die because of the storm, because of the waves. It feels like they're going to drown. Verse 28, they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And that's our word that was in our first story. It is just a help. If you are in a boat that's about ready to capsize, you're going to be crying out for help, aren't you? Hey, help, help. They cried out to the Lord. And it says he delivered them. And like in our first story, it's a word for snatch away. He comes and he picks them up. Takes them out and he delivers them. He delivers us from the storms. He delivers us from those things. And in that boat, all he had to do was stand up and say, peace be still. Peace be still. And whatever's rocking your boat this morning, we just need to see Jesus come and speak peace. Lord, I need your peace. And as we quiet and to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Last week when I started that sermon, we looked in the United Methodist hymnal on Wesley's Guide to Singing. And that was pretty funny, and we laughed about that. But why was Wesley so adamant of not singing too fast or too slow. Why was he so adamant in that? He was adamant in that because he realized, and it's sad what's happened, and there's on a lot of levels it's sad what's happened in the United Methodist Church, but one of the things that's sad is the separation between laity and the reverend and the pastor, and we've separated that. And in what Wesley's doing in the guide to singing is emphasizing the importance of one voice. He didn't even like choirs because he felt like it exalted some above the others. And he wanted the emphasis to be on all of us, that your voice is as all of our voices are equal. All of our voices are important. And it's the priesthood of all believers. All of us are priests before the Lord. And he wants us to remember the power of unity. And when we sing, we're lifting it up as one voice. It's not emphasizing one over the other. One isn't better than the other. He said, I want us to be focused. I want us to be one as we lift up our voices to the Lord. In all four of these redemption stories, all of them end with, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. For God's, that little word is hesed, his faithful, loyal love that never, ever ends. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. What is your redemption story? As we read this psalm, and the exhortation is to sing a song, what is it that God has delivered you from? What is your story? It's probably not like that. All of our stories are different. But to gather together in church is for us to come together and recount what God has done and to lift up our voices in praise and adoration, to get our mind off the world, to set our mind on Jesus, to remember that we are foreigners and aliens in this world, that we are a new creation, and we're longing for him. We're longing for him. As bad as it is, looks outside, that his kingdom is within us, and he wants to move through us to save a lost and dying world. That word for redeem means to buy back. It means to bring back those that have been either, it's like a house that's been taken by the bank. It's getting that house back. It's a slave that's being bought back. It's those that deserve death, those that deserve are in prison and somehow being brought back. And Jesus has redeemed us. He has saved us from sin. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Psalm 34:7 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. He's faithful. He is good. And he will hear us if we cry out to him. Are you lost? Are you sick? Are you in rebellion? Are the waves of this world overwhelming? Cry out to the Lord, and he will deliver you. And our only response to that is to sing a song. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Father, we praise you that you're faithful. Lord, each one of us have a story. Lord, I thank you for the promise in your word that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We sang about it this morning. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon he receives. We thank you, Jesus, that you bore the curse, that you've redeemed us from sin, that you've redeemed us from death. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would have eyes to see you. Beautiful Redeemer. Beautiful Savior. And Lord, may we know you. May we see you. And Lord, may we sing the song of the redeemed. We love you and we praise you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand and let's sing. Let's sing. We are going to sing. the story. Those of us that are sick, those of us that are just overwhelmed with life and it feels like we're being tossed up and down. Lord, we thank you that you heard the cry of all four of those. And Lord, you are good and you're right there waiting to come to our aid if we would just turn to you and repent and come. You're right there. And Lord, we thank you that you are a beautiful, wonderful Redeemer. And Lord, I pray that if we don't have a story, Lord, that today we would start, that we would cry out to you, and you would come and you would deliver. And Lord, thank you that each one of us can remember times that you've helped us in the past. You're good, and you're faithful, and you are a mighty deliverer. And Lord, we thank you that our nation is not beyond your aid, if we would but turn, if we would but turn. And Lord, it starts with us. Pray we would have eyes to see, ears to hear. And Lord, what a beautiful, wonderful Redeemer you are. And we honor you and we love you. And we surrender ourselves to you. And Lord, let your kingdom come through us. Fill us. We have a story to tell. I pray we would love to tell the story. And Lord, we would be faithful to ministering your kingdom to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.